All right, he should have told you to Hawk 2 spit on that thing.
That's like a remedy for everything these days.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that in all of my medical problems and trials, I've never once Hawk 2'd on any of my injuries.
What about, no one here is going to get this one, but what about Lingua Ignotua, scream on that thing? That's a little reference for all the trans girls listening.
All the trans are laughing.
Wait, Hesse, can you explain that one? I don't get it.
There's a musician named Lingua Ignota, and she screams.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
This is the kind of music that Hesse likes. You know, the albums are just screaming or discordant noises.
Oh, Hesse's taste in music. What's that band called? Mirza Blob?
Mirzabal. I think it's just one guy.
Mirzabal.
Just one guy.
Beautiful
Japanese
man.
Welcome, everyone. It's Seeking Derangements. Ben, I'm here with Hesse and Jock. We've got a very special guest joining us. I'm sure you recognize his voice. Will Menaker is in the studio. Will, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
It's going good. Always a joy to be here back on Seeking Derangements. Looking to get deranged with you all.
Loved to hear from you. I love that it's the new Willennium.
Yeah,
we're going back to Willennium.
Big Willy style? That one?
Exactly.
Big Willy style.
That album changed my life. No joke.
That album changed your life.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? The hit album by none other than Will Smith. The album, Big Willy style. And I also said Willennium. There's another album reference. You might want to, study your Will Smith discography.
Okay, what are your favorite songs on that album without looking them up?
Miami, going to Miami.
Well, there the guy goes, just taking it right out of my mouth. But getting jiggy with it.
Okay,
is life change it.
What about Men in
those
Black?
Did those albums have the songs from the Men in Black and Wild Wild West soundtrack, or were those on the Wild Wild West and Men in Black soundtrack?
I'm looking at Men in Big Willy Style does have Men in Black on it. It's the final song of the album.
That's the best song.
The Wild West theme song?
Men in Black or Wild Wild West. Those are my two favorite Will Smith songs.
I don't see Wild Wild West on Big Willy Style. It might be on the Willennium. But
okay, let's get in the movie mindset really quickly. What's a better movie, Men in Black or Wild West?
Wild Wild West is famously not a good movie, but Men in Black is a great movie. Actually, I think Men in Black genuinely is a really good movie.
And I like Men in Black 2 and 3 also.
But Wild West is one of the greatest, it's one of the only movies that actually accomplished steampunk.
It's true.
Properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think that's the blueprint? That's the steampunk film?
Obviously, way more than Steam Boy.
Steam Boy
the anime.
I've never even heard of
Steam Boy. Oh, it's by the guy who did Akira.
Oh, Steam Boy.
God. Yeah. You might need to get more of a movie mindset, Hesse, to understand these big picture ideas. I'm talking about the pictures, like the movie pictures.
Do you like the spider in Wild Wild West, Jock? The big robot spider?
I do like that. I prefer Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah, that's a real Spider-Man.
I approve.
Not that fag Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, he was just
period
for sure.
That guy's an imperialist, and I'm not gonna.
You just said that because Ben said period, and imperialist kind of rhymes.
Yeah, classic word association from
Jock. Totally my favorite rhyme.
He's an imperialist.
Imperialist.
I love how much Jock really enjoys the fact that you do a sort of a side project with me. He's a
he
big
gets
fan.
Very
yeah, he's so mad about
it.
I'm so happy for the both of you two to this. I wish you a lifetime.
I've never been happier for a friend
of mine
who's more successful.
Will, your hair just looks so long and mid-length, and it looks like it would just go perfectly with a mid-length woman of something. You know, you two both have this je ne sais quoi look to you that you might be homeless. You might be a junkie. I'm not sure.
So mean.
Jesus Christ.
Jock is also jealous because he doesn't have hair and usually looks like Cynthia.
It's fine. Will, I'm just kidding. I'm not making fun of your gay ass Willy Wonka haircut. I am gay though. I want to put my foot down for a second. I'm stopping right now. I'm making fun of your feminine hair that if I saw you from the back, I would say, wow, I wonder what season of X-Files that woman is on.
Okay. Well, X-Files has mostly bald guys. It's always a bald guy who's the monster of the week. Have you noticed that?
Or something that what Will might look like from behind.
It's always a bald guy who's the... It's more of you, Jacques. Jacques would be an X-Files guy who's like, I can't stop eating stuff.
Pardon's so bad. Everyone dies in the restaurant. By the way, I'm just going to issue a pardon to everyone involved in this episode beforehand. The disease that's taking over my body, face, and mind is making me a little bit more angry than normal. So I just want to...
So you're giving us the pardon.
I'm pardoning. I'm sorry.
You're pardoning yourself, it sounds like. You're like, allowed to be mean.
Maybe you're doing a preemptive apology because you're going to be vicious to all of us. You can't pardon.
Not barely preemptive. He's already started.
Yeah, he's already done it.
Look, I'm just trying to get y'all into what I would like to call my movie mindset.
You're so jealous.
You gotta get over it.
You gotta get over it, honey.
So mad about it.
It's been going on for like 2 years, dude.
Yeah.
How have you not processed this?
they were able to do that for 2 years? That's very interesting.
When we first started it, I was like, oh God. My first thought was like, how am I going to tell Jacques?
Let me ask you, Hess and I had some conversations
as to how to break the news to Jock
for us
about a side project.
For us good people, the normal people out there who don't listen to Movie Mindset, give us a little insight into what it's like. You're covering Phantom Menace, Howard the Duck. I mean, what are you covering?
What would you, if you were a guest, Jock, what movies would you bring on?
Phantom Menace or Howard the Duck. I would love to. Working Girl is an actually movie. Incredible movie.
What about Working Girls by Lizzie Borden, 1986?
No. Give me a break. Don't you dare. Don't you throw your art house recommendations at me, little lady, okay? Princess Diaries, Crazy/Beautiful, starring Kirsten Dunst. I mean, you need the... Okay, honestly, I've never heard y'all review
like
that.
E-movie of the week. It's like Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh my God. I just watched that for the first time recently. That's what you should get your mindset of movies on, because that movie is groundbreaking comedy romance. Number one, you could not have more fun. You got love. You've got deceit. You've got a girl who's still married.
Oh, yeah. She's.
I have not seen Sweet Home Alabama, but I did watch The Princess Diaries for the first time fairly recently.
I've never seen it.
Thumbs up.
It's groundbreaking.
My only question about the movie is, what did the nation of Genovia do from the years of like 1939 to 1945?
Oh. They don't talk about it. They leave it out of the tours. It's a big...
Stop. Genovia is famously a country free from Hitler's regime and rule.
Yeah, probably
and influence.
Early on.
Yeah, exactly.
They
didn't
part
invade.
Of the access.
Yeah. Kind of one or the other at the time.
There goes Dr. History with his movie mindset about how the world happened. Whoopsie! I just woke up in a movie mindset and I know how the whole history of the world plays out because I'm a movie man.
Oh my God.
All right, should we dive into the...
Let's get into Jock's bullying corner.
Will, I may end up muting him at some point. I'm disabled.
That's for certain.
Disabled.
That's for certain.
No one's arguing against that.
First thing we're all agreeing on here. Well, let's get into it. I mean, I think the thing we wanted to open with was George Santos, who keeps flirting with the idea of dropping his own October surprise against the Kamala Harris campaign, promising that it will be a campaign-ending news bomb that is about to hit, that I think only he has the source of. Is that correct, Hessa?
Well, he said recently, he said 2 days ago, he said, tomorrow I'm going to be dropping the biggest news of all time. It's going to end the Kamala Harris campaign. and no yeah. one understands how big this news is going to be, and I'm dropping it tomorrow.
And then hurry up, I'm sick of this election.
Yesterday,
I know.
So what happened yesterday is he tweeted, everyone, it turns out that a big, massive newspaper news source is also has this story. So I am prepared to release this story if I need to. I'm going to scoop them and I'm getting my lawyers ready. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, is that how news works? You have to get like, you can get sued if you release a story before someone else.
I feel like he's going to release a story that's just going to incriminate himself at the exact same time.
He has nothing. I feel like he doesn't have anything.
He has
he's
nothing.
Just like,
no.
yeah,
it's just trying to stay relevant.
He absolutely is going to try to say that he had sex with Kamala at a Politico conference, and that means she can't be president by rule number 375.
Which yeah, is sex with a gay guy.
Thou shalt not have sex with a gay guy to become president of the United States, says I, George Washington.
I saw him making reference after his like weird video drops where he's threatening the Kamala Harris campaign. I saw him make reference to Kamala attending a Diddy party, which I feel like is probably happened at some point.
No. This is really funny. I would love to really quickly dive into this. So. This was a picture of Kamala Harris at a Montel Jordan party in the 90s that they were face shopping Montel's face to look like Diddy because I think they were both wearing white suits.
Okay.
I think it's like a really crazy to associate Kamala with the stuff. However, I do think it's actually just on brand because we got Usher who said only a month earlier that he was not going to have a political opinion on The View. He said he wasn't endorsing either candidates. He said it's your right to choose to vote. A month later, he's endorsing the Kamala campaign. Beyonce is endorsing the Kamala campaign as a human, as a mother, not a celebrity, which is so stupid. You can't be anything else.
They're just letting any mother endorse Kamala these days?
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
I mean, when my mother endorsed Kamala, she got attacked by mobs. They doxed her.
It's crazy. Jason Voorhees' mom is endorsing this one, too. No, that fell out to flat ears. Friday the 13th.
Well, no, here you go.
I've never heard of that movie.
Similar to Jason Voorhees, Kamala Harris is also a murderer. So
yes,
so we go with that one.
That's very true. That's absolutely true. I also love her new strategy about trans rights.
Wait, what's her new trans?
If she gets asked about it,
just that we need to follow the law. Whatever the law is, like if the law in your state is that they go in a zoo, then like we just got to follow the law. Yeah, which I think is funny for someone who is a lawmaker. It's always funny when politicians, especially people in Congress, are like, we just gotta follow the law. Like, asshole, isn't that your job? Like, your job is making the laws. You decide what the fucking laws are. That's what government is.
Yeah.
God, she's such a piece of shit.
I personally would love to see a zoo full of transgender people. I'm sorry.
But like, the reason that she said that is because the interviewer was like, Donald Trump keeps attaching you to this to transgender people and saying that you're in favor of giving them all surgeries and giving them healthcare, and she's like, yes, he's trying to define my campaign based on that, and it's and then the interviewer like interrupts her and is like, but I want you to define your campaign right now. I want you to define like where you stand on that. And she's like, well, I think I think we need to follow the law. And it's like, okay, amazing, amazing. And also, like, her campaign HQ, like, Twitter tweeting, like, period. Like, because it was, like, a quote of Trump, like, I hate transgender people. And then, like, another screenshot of it being, like, Trump allows transgender people to serve in the military or something.
I saw that.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. We actually hate trans people more than Donald Trump. He's too moderate on this issue. I mean, there was a similar, this is a dynamic playing itself out in the waning days of this campaign, thank God. But like, you know, at the Anderson Cooper CNN town hall, he was just like, 4 years ago, you called the construction of a border wall fascist and evil. What's changed? Mm-hmm. And then she was like, let me tell you about Donald Trump and his border wall. He didn't even build any of it. He's lying to you. I'm going to build the wall. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she said, I'm going to build the wall, but I mean, like,
she.
That was a pretty good impression of her.
They keep thinking that, like, that they're just sort of like, they can show that Trump's a hypocrite because he hasn't pursued fascism effectively enough. And the Democratic Party, they were the ones that actually deliver. We will deport all Latinos from America. And yes, we will put trans people into camps.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think she was like,
if it's the law, legally.
If it's the law. Legally. Yeah. Yes. And we can't do anything to change it.
The law is the law.
She says,
you know,
like,
what? They're like, every single federal judge in the U.S. is a Republican. And so whatever they say, that's what goes. So let's.
During that exchange, she was bragging about the fact that Trump mentioned the wall being built. And she was like, actually, Obama built that portion of the wall. So Donald Trump, you are wrong. I just don't understand. It is the most bullshit election of all time because it's Kamala is moving the party further to the right than I think I've even seen before. It's actually insane.
It's insane. Ben, it's insane because I remember like 6 months ago or like back when Biden was still running or then maybe like right after they swapped him out for Kamala. I mean, the argument that I'm used to hearing over. Sorry, we lost Jacques. But
he has to rejoin because his mic came unplugged.
Okay. But like, you know, like I'm sure it's like an argument that, you know, that you encounter all the time. But like, you know, okay, like,
yeah,
Kamala may be committing mass murder. She may be an active party in a genocide. But you have to vote for her because, like, think of you know, immigrant families. Think of women mm-hmm. who need an abortion. Think of trans teenagers who, like, you know, think of these marginalized groups in America that will suffer under a Republican administration. 2 weeks out from the election, their argument is like, no, we'll fuck those people over better.
Yeah.
That's why you have to vote
literally.
For us. Like, we'll deport immigrants even faster. We'll crack down on trans people. Even, like, you know, Trump's lying when he says he's going to do that. We're serious.
Yeah. It's so pathetic and so depressing. And, like, people are like, there's this framing where it's like, oh, well, we need to, like, withhold our votes to teach the Democratic Party a lesson. And I'm like, at this point, I don't even want to teach them a lesson. I just want to see them lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. Of course, I don't want Trump to win, but it's something so insane needs to happen for there to be any hope in electoral politics in this country. And I don't believe that there's any like fertile ground there with withholding votes from the Democratic Party because they clearly do not care and do not want any votes
they don't
from
give
anyone.
Well, and reciting Will talking about them keeping the status quo of like typical like Republican ideology that or like just like conservative person ideology where they're gonna like make it worse for everyone. And then everyone's constantly yelling and arguing at me like, if you don't vote for Kamala.
And then just to circle back to me and how oppressed I am.
No, I'm just sorry.
Well, everyone is always kind of yelling at you
for various reasons. You're being very dangerous, flirting with the idea of not voting for Kamala Harris. And then I'm, you know, Will doesn't know this, but I've been called a anti-black, transphobic, anti-queer person just for all this Kamala nonsense because I said well, everyone's having a brat summer. Y'all forgot how many times she put everyone in prison. This is kind of what I said, something like that. I don't have the whole it's been read before, but
I can't even bring myself to have these arguments with people anymore because respect for any of them. I can't even argue on principles. We share none at this point. Like, if you're willing to vote for this administration, you're totally gone to me. And I won't even entertain any arguments. It's totally psychotic.
Like, I will not be teaching the Democrats a lesson by not voting for Kamala Harris. I think it should be incumbent upon you. I think you should teach them a lesson by voting for them.
I think I just shut up and teach them a lesson already.
I know. I cannot wait for this shit to be over.
I mean, you know what I'm going to do? I'm writing in Joe Biden.
I know what she's going to do.
Yes.
When she got that movie mindset, she'd do anything she put her mind to.
Okay, Jacques, let's see if we can go the next maybe 15 minutes without.
Let's tamper down the jealousy.
Yeah.
It's not even jealousy. I was just like trying to understand how you people do things. In the political world.
That's true.
With a movie mindset. But keep going.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea of writing in Joe because it's going to like throw off the numbers big time. It's going to be so confusing for everyone. They're going to be like, imagine how many like old confused people are going to write in Joe Biden. And then it's going to be like the more write-in votes for Joe Biden, the more like the Democrats will not know how to change their strategy. They'll be like, wait, we should we have kept Joe in?
Talk about Joe's.
I mean, at this point, it's like they may as well have. She can't even offer any distinction between, you know, her administration under Biden and what she's ostensibly going to do if she wins.
By the way, yes. if Joe gets written in, it's going to be his worst nightmare. He's going to have to like lean the lazy boy chair forward and said, "They're having me back." No,
I mean, I think I was supposed to rest. I would have loved if Joe Biden was forced to continue to embarrass himself on a national stage and pretend like he wasn't dying. That seemed like the most moral position to me, is that Joe Biden shouldn't have been replaced and should have just suffered and suffered and suffered.
Yeah, no,
I'm
100% with you. I was like, there's nothing I hate more than all these turncoats, like the Pod Save America guys that were like whining that we got to Joe Biden, we have to get him out of there, we need Kamala. And now they have it and they're fucking not happy. No, you should have stayed loyal and Joe Biden deserves to still have to be president. It's the only punishment fitting for him.
Yes, no, I know. The fact that he could just like still be president low-key and face no criticism because everyone kind of forgot he existed.
Yeah, and he was
tired of listening to him.
He definitely still wanted to run, like even to the very bitter end, like for sure.
And also,
for sure.
They could have had him at McDonald's instead of Donald Trump. I mean,
oh my God. He would have absolutely burned his hands off.
Hello,
like a retired person who burned through their, like someone who burned through their retirement money, like at age 75. Yeah, they had to go back to work.
Trump is going on Rogan. Trump is going and passing out beautiful fries at McDonald's. I'm kind of like, Kamala is just doing like these like super Hillary events where it's like, we're bringing out Beyonce, John Legend. No one. Half of the country thinks that these people are satanic pedophiles. Like, stop, like, putting celebrities on every fucking, like... But it's because she can't really talk in front of an audience.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just also so bad to choose anyone that's even kind of remotely in the conspiracy theory universe right now of Diddy. Usher, crazy to choose to represent you, whatever. Then you add Beyonce, who people are, like, canceled. Don't care about her. Renaissance over.
Well, the new great conspiracy about Beyonce is that if you win a Grammy and don't thank her, she either kills you or ruins your career. And
wait, what's the evidence for that?
The evidence for that is that there's a picture of her wearing a shirt that says "Always say thank you," and the people who didn't thank her, there's like this. Also, like people are like, oh, that's why Kanye went up there and said that, because he was saving Taylor Swift's life.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, so wait a second. So like if you win a Grammy, like even if it's a Grammy for like best spoken word album, you have to
beat her.
You're compelled to thank Beyonce or she'll kill you, even if she had nothing to do with the creation of the album.
Well, no, it's if you beat her in the best album or something. Yeah. And I think the evidence is the people who have won are like, I'm trying to think. Like,
I think Gautier beat her.
Yeah, Gautier is one of them.
Someone I used to know won Song of the Year, and then of course he, you know, totally just fizzled out,
disappeared. Yeah, and
because he was murdered by Beyonce Carters.
Yeah, the funniest.
It's because the person who did the song with him didn't want to tour with him 5 months into the thing, dropped out of the tour, said I would never perform with you again, Kimbra.
Well, the No, I think it's because of Beyonce. But the funniest new development to this conspiracy theory in the TikToks that it feeds me, my TikTok algorithm is unreal. It's like so like geared towards like a teenager that I'm like, it's so like confusing to me. But the best new development is that people are like, oh, that's why Liam Payne died, is because Harry Styles didn't thank Beyonce and she got him confused with Harry Styles.
I'm like, that's a classic thing. You just kill someone's friend to send them a message, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
That's how ruthless and evil Beyonce is.
That's cartel tactics, you know?
Yeah. It was only 1 minute into my lift from my house to Zia's, which is very short, that the Lyft driver went over about 20 different conspiracy theories. And the first thing that she said was, she laughed and she said, I mean, you know they killed Liam. You know. They killed Liam. And I was like, who killed Liam? She's like, Diddy's people.
Yeah, we got to be careful about Liam Pleasure. Might be next, you know?
Liam Pleasure. Silly. The same Lyft driver went on to say that Beyonce...
Is this the one who guessed her age at 40?
No, this is, I had her really recently. Shut up. Don't bring that back up.
I was just wondering if this is the same fateful Lyft ride.
She also told me that Beyonce and Jay-Z bought Rihanna, purchased her when she was 13 years old as a loophole because of her music career. And she was like, look it up. It's true. She kept saying all these theories. She was like, you know who they got? Kanye's mom, Donda. They Donda'd her. She was like, why do you think they killed her? And then Kanye, if you listen to one of his interviews, he said they got her. She turned the music down. She goes, who are they? Seriously.
It's one singular person who identifies with they, them pronouns. Yeah. He's just going around.
Oh my God, Demi Lovato.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant Demi Moore. I was like, I didn't know that was trans.
Well, there's a famous like old 4chan green text about how this one guy being like, I was a security guard. I worked for Jeffrey Epstein. And this is before he even got arrested in like 2008. Mm-hmm. This was like 2007 or something. And he's like, yeah, I worked for Jeffrey Epstein. I was at a party run by Rihanna. And there were all these like terrible, like, you know, pedophile shit going on at this party. And it was like really horrifying. And I've always kind of believed it a little bit. That one, I mean, 4chan, not the most reliable source, but definitely...
We're not
kind
too
of reliable than well, Lyft drivers
like,
in New Orleans.
I did like when was it Eminem just endorsed Kamala, and he was at a rally in Michigan with Obama, and Elon Musk's reaction to that was to tweet like just another Diddy, and it was like a Venn diagram of like Epstein client, like Epstein VIP list, Diddy party, and it was like, you know, everyone endorsing Kamala, and it's like that's pretty funny, but like Elon Musk was also literally on both of those things.
Yeah, it's also incredibly true for like, Trump as well.
I mean, like Elon Musk was like very associated with Diddy and Elon. Diddy was an investor in his purchase of Twitter.
Yes.
What? Wait, that's
it's so
crazy.
Funny. Like, also, it's like Elon being like, after years of probably being like, can you please, hey, Diddy, just calling again. I know you. I don't know if you're seeing my voicemails. Yes, but I would absolutely adore if I could come to your party.
I heard there's another white party coming up. I was just wondering if you need a meme smith there. If any epic memes at the party?
I know you're black, but you might need a white at the white party. Just kidding. I think it would be dope. I think it would be absolutely dope if I could.
You want me to bring my weird girlfriend wife to the party? She make weird music. She'll put something on.
I'll wear a shirt that's too small so that when I jump up and create an X with my body, my tummy will be exposed and it will make everyone feel ill.
That's so cool.
So
I love when he does
vile.
That. I love when
I
he does
that.
My mom
so much.
My
it's
mom
so
fucking annoying and like gives me so much secondhand embarrassment. And he's one of the most just like powerfully repugnant and like nerdy pieces of shit that even Trump is like visibly disgusted by him whenever they have to share the stage. He fucking hates Elon
Trump
so much.
Trump is embarrassed of him. Like
he's embarrassed. Yeah.
I caught my mom listening to his audio bog. His memoir or something.
Audio bug.
It was an audio book, and I was trying to say autobiography, and then it was actually a memoir.
We got it.
Anyway, I'm like, Mom, why are you driving around listening to Elon Musk thing? Everyone loves Elon right now for some reason, like old people. It's weird. She was like, he's just so interesting and inventive. He's a creator, Jacques. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know what kind of media is brainwashing my mom, but
I'm totally
worried about it.
In retrospect, I'm so upset that I called it PayPal because I feel like I could have called it Dank Pay or, you know, something.
He owns PayPal?
That's how he made his money.
Oh, so he's Peter Thiel's friend? I never knew.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a lot of context right now.
You know, it's just like one of the only good things about if Kamala wins this election is that I think it will hasten his death.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is maybe the most compelling argument to get me to vote for her. Of course, I would never do it. But if Elon Musk would die as a result, I'd think about it.
Yeah, it's like it'll be like when the dude visits like Jeffrey Lebowski in his study, and he's just like, that song is playing and he's like sitting in front of the fire, and that's like, that's gonna be Elon, but instead of the dude being like, do you mind if I smoke a doobie, it'll be Elon sitting in the chair in front of the fire looking all sad, and he's like, do you mind if I smoke a doobie, do you mind if I do a J?
He would say, do you mind if I do a J?
Dank men also cry.
Yeah. Strong men can also meme.
Okay, I have, I want to get to this thing that I have. There's, Masha sent me this. This is an absolutely beautiful interview with John Fetterman on the New York Times podcast, The Daily. Oh, and he's, God. This is a really great, he's got some great stuff going on in this.
I'm going to say immediately that I'm so scared of shaving my head.
I just looked at this.
I just looked at this fat, ugly.
Well, you're a lot more handsome than him,
and I wear eyewear hoodies too.
Oh. He looks like a big cauliflower ear.
He looks like the inner bone of a ham.
Yeah.
He looks like someone that like the hero in a swashbuckling like 30s movie would like beat by going through his legs or something. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, let's listen to some of these iconic quotes here.
And actually puts ketchup on it, which so I haven't met that one person that's having that quintessential like glamorous life. It's been elusive.
Oh wait, we missed the best
not
part.
One that it would even appeal to me. Though I have, and watching bad TV on net, it's a whole.
Hang on.
And now dysfunctional.
What the hell?
And I've been disappointed on the reality about part of it, and it's just also astonishing. And I can't understand why there's people.
Okay, so people are. He's talking right now about being a. I'm going to go back like a little bit.
He sounds fucking miserable.
In your head.
He sounds so depressed.
No, when you hear this quote, this quote is really upsetting. It's like really incredible.
Who's the woman interviewing him?
That it's a track. You know, everybody's constantly looking for the next job. And it's incredible.
He's talking about being a senator, being in Congress.
Really cynical and transactional. And now dysfunctional. And I've been disappointed on the reality about part of it. And it's just also astonishing. And I can't understand why there's people that are willing to spend tens of millions of their own money to try to hold that office. Cause then you can get there and be like, look at the glamour. You know, I'm sitting in a 500 square feet apartment, you know, and I'm like, I'm on Grubhub. Hey, what do I have? And watching bad TV on Netflix or whatever.
And oh my God.
I like to ask all of my colleagues, well, hey.
Then quit. You don't have to be there, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. If you're listing why your life is bad after being a senator, you were so lucky enough to hold a position of power. Well, if you, okay. Well, then why the fuck is he bitching? I didn't even know. I couldn't tell by his disgusting, ragged look that this is an elected an official.
Well, he's about to get to that. He's about to get to that.
This inner ham bone.
Hey, is there like some kind of secret society or like a social life or something glamorous? Like, no. And even, you know, Romney, I mean, he's incredibly wealthy and he has a nice house. But I read that, yeah, he sits on his nice chair and watches Netflix and eats salmon from his friend and actually puts ketchup on it, which
my favorite quote.
That's awesome.
He sits on his nice chair. He sits on his nice chair and eats salmon from his friend.
Wait a second. This is like a Mike Lee movie right here. He's describing a life that is so bereft of pleasure that he's imagining eating ketchup covered salmon on a nice chair as like a sweet release. That's what he's aiming for and can't achieve.
I really love like what he's saying here because it really kind of goes counter to every single thing that he's purported to stand for. As like when he went into the Senate, he was like, I'm different from these guys. They're all like fat cats who like spend so much money trying to get reelected and they're evil and they like They're just in there for the paycheck and the salary and the glamour and the, you know, like this, like rich, like having this power and the lifestyle that it gives you. But here he's like, actually, like all the, like senators are like working Joes, you know, they just like sit on their chairs and they order Grubhub and they're just like,
it's also like there are definitely parties and glamour and, you know, some amount of status with being a senator or in Washington, D.C. It's just he is definitely
just gotta put
not
on a tie to get invited.
Yeah, exactly, dude. No one wants to invite you.
Sorry you didn't get invited to the fucking shit. Smithsonian Gala because you're wearing a garbage bag.
Sorry, yes.
Basketball shorts. It's 20 degrees outside. Literally, you're shuffling around with slot. He has the official uniform of someone who is clinically depressed. Someone who cannot even be bothered to put on socks to leave the house. Yeah.
He looks like a guy you might see at Walmart for 2 or 3 hours shopping with his entire family.
Exactly.
But, it really is like the funniest thing he's ever done is when it's been talked about a lot, but when it was his son's birthday and he went to the hospital because he wanted to kill himself. Because he was so mad his son was getting attention on his birthday.
All I can think of watching John Fetterman talk here is it just keeps running through my head. Suicide is painless, and it brings on many changes. And I could take or leave it if I could.
That's an original song.
It's a deleted episode of MASH. A deleted episode of MASH where they find this weird giant body and they have to do an autopsy on it.
The giant of Kandahar has killed himself.
What the hell? I don't want to. Y'all scare me when y'all talk this mystical weirdness.
Okay, wait.
So I haven't met that one person that's having that quintessential, like glamorous life. It's been elusive.
Pause it for a second. One second. He looks like an executioner without the mask on.
Yes, you're so true. Yes, that's so real. He looks like he's about to swing an axe at someone's head.
It would be a dishonor to y'all if I didn't mention that when y'all were talking about the ketchup. I think that ketchup is special. And a few nights ago, I had 4 packets of cold ketchup that I saved in the refrigerator as a dessert.
Like just plain?
Yeah, I just ate them. I sat and watched TV and I sucked
them
down.
That's incredibly troubling behavior.
It's the Cane's fancy ketchup packets, the ones that have the squeeze.
Okay, that's totally normal.
For me, but it's not one that it would even appeal to me. I think people all think life is like the West Wing or something, you know, kind of where it's snappy dialogue and it's like, whatever. But a lot of it comes down to just really bad performance art.
One of the things that I think has been very distinctive about you is that you dress differently. You use language differently. Is that important to you, not changing?
You sound like a fucking moron.
The thing about you is you're a slob who can't speak.
This is the best part when he talks
about
why
senators are sort
like
of like well put together and articulate, but you're changing that.
It's funny that you say that his YouTube name is Slob Who Can't Speak. It's 90.
The Oaf 69.
To sort of fit into this idea of this politician that you seem to reject.
Yeah, it would be exhausting to be anything other than that. And
I'm so tired.
I dress like a bum.
He wants to die so bad.
It's terrible to try to find clothes. Now, I can't find a suit. I truly can't afford like custom, you know.
You can't find a suit, right?
He's too fat.
This is so fucking pathetic. This is so pathetic. This guy has been like loudly supporting a genocide in Palestine for like a year now. If you can't get AIPAC to pay for a fucking suit, what are you doing this for free? You're doing this because you believe in it? Oh my god.
He's like, I'm telling you consistently for 3 months, ma'am. He's speaking to the manager for Walmart. They have been out of everything in double XL. I need double XL to fit in this body.
I mean, they have big and tall stores. He should be able to find a suit.
You're telling me you can't find a suit for a giant oafish man in Western Pennsylvania? Like, it's absolutely readily available to him.
Okay,
he's
y'all.
Just too depressed and probably too ashamed of his body to go and get tailored or, you know, try on clothes or what, Jock?
He's 6'8".
Yes.
Yeah.
That's guy. Like guy. NFL guys get big ass suits to wear.
Yes. I know, but that's America. Everything.
You can get a giant suit. It's one of the easiest things to do in this country.
He looks like a caveman zombie. He looks like a criminal.
Yes.
And he has the facial hair of a predator. This only goatee weird combo that looks dyed.
Yeah. Zach, saying he looks like an executioner without the hood is I think the best description of Jean Fetterman I've yet heard. Yes. And I think honestly he'd be happier if he just had a black bag over his head and he was just sort of shirtless carrying an axe around everywhere.
Yeah, he's like he's one of the big like mini bosses in like Resident Evil 4.
When I first started working for Edward the Longshanks, I thought it'd have sort of a glamorous lifestyle and people think it was like a movie or something, but every day I'm just torturing people, I'm killing William Wallace, and I'm just thinking, Billy, is this all there is?
No, I mean, Billy the Butcher, when he saw me, it was like a mini boss fight where he had to, you know, dodge around me. I kept just swiping at him, you know, during the big fight.
He looks like he owns a motorcycle shop, like a chop shop. No,
I was
like
just
going to
say, what he looks like is like in the biker bar. There's like a biker gang that comes in and he's always sitting there and he's like, how was the ride, guys? And they're like, it was good, man. It was pretty good. It was all right. And he's like, yeah. And then like the new biker guy's like, who's that guy? And they're like, he really wants to be a biker, but he's too big to get a motorcycle. So he hangs out here. So just be nice to him, you know. We all feel bad for him.
I'm a little disappointed that I knew that the podcast he was being interviewed on was The Daily from the New York Times. Mm. So I was just looking at this screenshot here. I would assume it was a podcast where all of Dr. Frankenstein's former assistants like come on the show and just say what it was like working with him.
Yeah.
I was trying to Google, do they make motorcycles for tall people? And it said, do they make motorcycles for midgets? Why is that the first thing?
What, you typed that in?
I haven't, I swear. Amazing. Tall guys. There are several motorcycles on the market that are designed specifically for taller riders, including the Suzuki DR-Z400S.
Period.
I'm not going to list them all, but that was it.
I was about to mention the Suzuki DR-400S, but
sorry, Suzuki is the plug.
I was planning to talk about that.
Okay,
as well.
We're almost to the end of this. The clip.
I love clips.
Taylor suits. So it's really just practical. And it's just like most normal people in Pennsylvania dress like that. And definitely in Western Pennsylvania, people wear shorts through the year. And I do that. Also, it's
your legs never get cold.
I don't. But again, a lot of that comes back to it's practical. It's just easier in that sense.
He looks so depressed. He looks like he's the patron saint of abusive stepfathers.
Yes, absolutely.
The patron sinner of abusive stepfathers.
He also looks like he's into muscle cars. Okay, I'm
done. Listening to him talk has just drained all of the dopamine out of my body. Yes. It's exhausting. Listen to this sad sack oaf. quit. Quit your fucking
just
job.
Quit.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this.
Well, someone's got to stand up for Israel. Someone has to stand up for Israel.
Yeah.
There's just 30 more seconds that I want to get through. Right.
Okay.
I want to understand a little bit about how you've been navigating some of the currents in the party. And so I'd like to take you back to some of the biggest moments for Democrats in this very insane presidential cycle.
Pretending to sit
after the Biden-Trump debate, at a moment when other Democrats were turning on Biden for his cognitive decline, you went up against them in private and in public. And you tweeted that you weren't going to join the Democratic vultures. Why did you feel so strongly at the time that the party should have stood behind the president?
So I actually didn't see that debate. I was actually flying back from Israel. So I just started seeing some messages about it.
Oh, my God. Oh. He said he was flying back from Israel?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
His defense, like, actually, I only said that because I didn't know what I was talking about. So.
Wait, he was flying back from Israel, he said?
I didn't see the debate. I was too busy doing a little treason on behalf of a foreign country.
Yeah, I was throwing rocks at the fence in...
Good
Lord. So
when you said earlier, I heard
that there was food getting delivered in Gaza, and I thought, they're not going to be having this without old John there.
I accidentally sent my Grubhub order to Gaza.
In Western Pennsylvania, we don't have a 300-pound bag of flour. I needed over there. I wanted to get a couple of them before they went to the terrorists.
In my neighborhood in Western Pennsylvania, we don't even use pounds to measure. We use stone. We say this is a 100 stone bag of flour. You know, we do medieval type measurements.
Everyone's saying there's not enough aid getting in. Believe me, a lot of aid's getting into me, but I still feel sad.
No, okay, it really is a portrait of one of the most depressed men in the country right now.
Yes.
I didn't know any senators or anyone was really flying to Israel.
Oh, a ton of them are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So marching out there like a parade.
Are the governor of New York, Jacques, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, missed the death of her father, who was dying in the hospital, to fly to Israel after October 7th. And as governor of New York, just reassure them that, like, hey, we got your back. Her father died while she was probably landing in Tel Aviv airport. Probably where's Kathy? My beautiful girl, it's all getting dark. Where is she?
Where's
she was like, BB, you look wonderful.
Yeah. Man, look, I'm not surprised because the American government is making out with Israel and in love with Israel and a romantic relationship with Israel. But I just don't, the mayor of New York going out and applauding them
all over.
Or governor, it's just so.
Yeah, same thing.
I just can't believe,
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Ugh. It's beautiful. Ugh. It's beautiful.
And now, Hesla, you pointed this out to me yesterday. Yankee Stadium is in Richie Torres's district in the Bronx.
Yes.
And the last time he tweeted about the Yankees was at the beginning of this year to complain about someone projecting Zionism is racism on Yankee Stadium.
God.
That's the only time. And yesterday, I picked up and ran with it. I just replied because he was like trying to put Hassan on blast yesterday. And I was like, Richie, the Yankees are playing tonight. And he blocked me immediately. He has no results in his recent. There is nothing in his tweets from this baseball season about the Yankees going to the World Series. Not a note of congratulations. Not like, hey, go Yanks. I hope Garrett Cole pitches a barn burner tonight.
They're like one game away from the pennant. He's like, I don't even fucking care, dude.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I searched his tweets the other day for it was a great honor. And he has 1 million. I'm like, damn, this is the most honored man in the world. Like, anytime he does anything, he starts the tweet with, it was a great honor. And which, even for a Senate, even for a congressperson, like, I think he tweets it way too much. He says it way too much. But yeah, I love Richie. I love John. I think they're great. I think they're cool guys.
No politician is a good politician. That's the lesson that I'm always learning every day. I mean, what am I going to trust
Jock,
in
have
any
you ever
of
voted?
Jock, politics? I call it politricks because they're all out to trick you.
Politricksers. Jock, have you ever voted in your life?
Yes, of course I have voted. But I had a manager who decided exactly who and what I should vote for every time.
Who
oh
was
my
that?
God, you had literally like a Tom Hanks in
I
Elvis.
Had, my previous long-term manager decided all of my votes for probably 10 years. I mean, I would go to the local Louisiana things, and I was so I believed in his political research, knowledge, and ability, and I always trusted. So he would give me a.
Who was this manager? BB Netanyahu.
It was not Mr. Mateshihu. It was not
Mr. Mateshihu. That's good to know.
Yeah. It was not
famous yakuza executioner.
look. The thing is, it was always the right thing for a long time. However, at a certain point, I don't work with that manager anymore, and do I still vote? No. I just don't. I think if people don't like me for not voting, that's fine. That's your prerogative.
You don't need to be defensive about it, Chuck. I think this is the clearer. This I think is the I most need to be defensive. Election where it's okay to not.
No
vote.
One is gonna. No one in our friend. No one in our like fan.
No. No one's gonna,
gonna yell at you.
It's totally okay.
Hey, if anyone in the DNC is listening to this episode, get Chuck a new manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys get him out to the polls.
Louisiana is in play this year.
I've mentioned
what the Democrats are doing, but if y'all want to exploit me and make me into your little lobbyist money machine, I mean, I'll take it.
You would do a Democratic event for a payout, Chuck?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I'm such a money whore, and like October's been rough. I've got infection on my neck. I mean, this is not a good time for Jackie. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
For Jackie, is that you?
Yeah, that's what I call it. Jackie
G.
Jackie Look, G.
I think that the infection that's getting closer to my brain is starting to affect my cognitive abilities.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that happening to you. You should probably go to the doctor for that.
I'm on a lot of they put a shot in my neck. Have you ever had a shot in your neck?
I've had five, actually, so that's not a big deal.
Okay,
to me,
shut up.
I got one earlier today, just for fun, though.
I've done five, and they were with big cartoon needles that Courage the Cowardly Dog would get threatened with.
And
by
the
a
liquid
cat
was
in a doctor
the liquid
suit.
Was pink, and it made you girlier as the shot going in.
But the
is there a bandage on your neck, right, dude? What is going on with your body?
I'm telling you, this whole—that's what I was trying to say. That
Jesus Christ.
On the side of my neck.
I feel like you could say what kind of infection you have.
Yeah, I'll just say I have a staph infection with an abscess on the side of my face that has developed.
Not on your face; it's on your neck.
No, but it's traveling up the side of my face. It's awful.
Okay, wow.
Hey, you know who else has a staph infection? John Fetterman, his staff keeps quitting because he smells bad and he's evil.
Old Chucklehead, back with the
he
laugh.
He keeps pooping his pants. He keeps walking around with poop in his pants.
Chucklehead's got a new laugh for you.
I saw earlier this week there was a Kamala event outside of like Cincinnati or something, and there was a drunk driver who got arrested because he was going the wrong way down the highway.
That was in Wisconsin.
Directly towards her motor. Like, can you imagine how scary that must be?
Jacques, just back out and rejoin.
Someone had a comment on this, and as someone who's Wisconsin adjacent, I can say it is 100% true. That driver was the most sober driver in the state of Wisconsin.
Literally. He was only going 35 miles in the wrong lane.
On the highway. Not that bad.
I cannot imagine being in that position where you must realize that you're on the wrong lane of the highway because Kamala Harris's motorcade is zooming towards you.
Ben, one time I tried to drive a car when I was on mushrooms, and I immediately turned into the wrong lane of traffic, and it was like the scariest 3 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
I got off the road and like I parked in a 7-Eleven, and I was like, I just need to walk around for an hour. I cannot imagine like being drunk or tripping, driving the wrong way on the highway, and then as you menace a presidential motorcade.
Yes.
Like, how did he not get domed? Like, how was this possible? Yeah. Driving right into Kamala's SUV. It's so fucking funny. And it is like, of course it was Wisconsin. Like, that is, I think, probably
it's the drinking
drunkest
capital
state
of America. It's the drunkest state in America by far.
I saw one of those alcoholic beverages consumed per week graphs in Wisconsin was the strongest blue, which is how they were measuring it. Whole state by county, just deep blue.
Well, I would like to say that Buffalo is definitely tops Wisconsin. Yeah. Oh God!
Well, turn your volume down.
Wait, no, I got it.
Okay, I got it.
Thank you.
Coincidentally, the top drink in Wisconsin right now is the Big Blue.
Period.
It's the Big Blue.
I haven't heard about this.
Never mind.
He made that up. Well,
Joe Biden moment. Never mind.
Very famously, the first time I ever voted, I think, was it might be the first time I ever donated to a political candidate that I'm thinking of, but I believe the first time I ever voted was when I was 18. I voted for Cynthia Nixon in the primary for governor in New York. So I have a clean record. I've never been wrong. I've never done anything wrong.
famously, that's one of your big things. Mm-hmm. Lady never been wrong. Oh, yeah. You know, Hesse, lady never been wrong.
Jacques, you
she's a woman who's never been wrong.
You had a story you wanted to share. Isn't that true?
I do actually want to break down what to me was a haunting, chilling tale to wake up to. And a cautionary tale that none of us should have monkeys. And what I speak of is the tale of the extraordinary tale of a California couple savaged by chimpanzees takes even more chilling turn. News report says elderly and confused widow LaDonna Davis was fleeced. What does fleeced mean?
Ripped off. Stolen.
Oh, no.
Oh, we should. Will, we gotta, you got to try to make him guess when he asks what a word means.
Well, you don't know.
Wait, Jock, what is this that you're... What is going on with him? Jock, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, you...
Yeah, you're coming through your computer, but let's just...
What in the good fuckery is going on? God damn it!
I think just continue on your computer. We're almost at the end of the episode.
So the monkey woman and man, they get... The husband had already got mauled by a monkey to the point where his nose had been ripped fully out of his face. And he's missing buttocks, lip absent a foot. And
lip abs and a foot?
And the pictures of him are horrific.
I'm sure. I'm curious, why is this of interest to you? Are you afraid personally of being attacked by monkeys?
Well, this is just evidence why people cannot
you should not have any kind of monkey, but particularly an ape, particularly a chimp. They are extremely dangerous.
So St. James brought orphan chimpanzee Mo home from Tanzania, and the couple treated him more like a son than a wild child animal.
Tanzania is an Italian pool boy name. Tanzania.
It's the final chapter in one of the most bizarre and tragic stories in modern California history.
What's the horrifying
St. James
turn
was a professional boat racer turned NASCAR driver. LaDonna was his crew chief. That is a story built on romance. This couple were...
Imagine being a NASCAR driver for your career and it's a chimp that kills you.
Yeah, that blows. That's like Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights 2. That's the ending of it.
During the attack, the two chimps gouged out St. James' right eye, chewed off his nose, ate of his fingers, ate parts of his skull, lips, cheeks, buttocks, genitals, and
they do
feet.
That. They do that.
Mm-hmm. They'll go straight for the
fishing tackle.
The pictures are horrific. This is a horrific thing. That horror. It's Halloween. That's why this piqued my interest.
Classic spooky story.
GoreDeath.news.
Yeah, Jock is on Rotten.com.
Yeah,
Jock is on Live Leak.
No, reading this all from Daily Mail.
Okay.
UK is my normal source of.
I mean, if you're owning a great primate
you should not have a chimp. Yeah.
It's what's going to happen to you.
It's a ticking time bomb.
These people are truly psychotic though, because this keeps happening over and over again.
Too.
No, I know.
Remember that woman who got the first face transplant? The face transplant woman? You think people maybe got the memo about keeping a chimp in their house?
No, I know. That was such a horrifying early television watching experience for me. I got home.
It's so gross. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
And I was watching Oprah, and that woman famously went on Oprah.
I remember
watching
that live, too.
Unveiled her face. I was watching it live, and it absolutely horrified me because her face looked like Squidward's nose.
It was just a big Squidward nose right on her face.
Yeah. And I was
nothing else.
And that was before the face transplant.
And it would be funny if after the face transplant, she looked like handsome Squidward.
She looked like Squidward,
remember?
Can I recount something very harrowing in my real life? I saw once this tall woman who was a burn victim came to the Cajun Music Festival.
I don't know
festival.
If you need to recount this, honestly. This just sounds like it's going to be a crazy... It was just a weird sight.
The woman looked like a burnt log. I don't mean that.
Great story. That's an absolutely fantastic.
Such a weird bummer.
with no point at all.
No point.
And nowhere to go after
it. I once saw a burn victim and she looked fucked
up. She was
very
like a burnt log.
Okay, amazing.
I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I'm just saying it was like the
You
most
mean in a respectful
intense.
Way, of course.
I mean it very of respectfully. It, I mean it with like, all due respect.
Like visually her skin mimicked burnt wood.
Yeah, keep going. Keep describing it more. It's definitely going to make it a lot better.
I don't
better.
Understand why I'm being scolded for just you're sharing a memory.
Well, okay, you're not Jack. As scolded as this lady, it sounds like, who is scalded, if you will.
Oh, but, yeah. I was just scalded at when she was actually scolded by hot. I'm sorry about that.
You got the words mixed up.
You got the words mixed up. Hey. we appreciate the attempt, though, John. I do think you should probably seek immediate medical attention for the infection you know was headed straight towards your brain and may have already breached.
It may have breached the blood-brain barrier, honestly.
No, it's got like the so blood-brain barrier. Yeah. I'm so sorry that I'm like this.
It's okay. It's totally all right,
it's
Jockey.
Fine, baby.
Will, it was really good to see you. I'm sorry I berated you.
Chuck is like, we gotta end this shit right now.
No, we don't have to end it now. We can keep going. I love podcasting, seeking derangements. Woo!
Amazing. Woo! Well,
hey, subscribe to our Patreon if you don't already.
Wait, we should plug the live show. We should plug our live shows.
And come to our live show. It's at Littlefield on election night. A night you can tell we're all
November 5th.
So excited for. Don't worry, we will not be doing that in-depth coverage of the event itself. Thank you, Jock. We'll be doing skits and, a few other comedic bits. We'll have plenty of guests and, of course, some amount of real live coverage from the election as it rolls out, but you can come see us there on election night, Littlefield 7, and tickets will be available. There's a few left. I would definitely get them sooner rather than later, and you'll find the link to those in our bio.
And Will, you have a live show too, right?
Yeah, well, if any Seeking Derangements listeners are on the West Coast in the city of Los Angeles, Chapo and Episode 1 will be doing a live show, a similar sort of conceptual sort of pre-election, sort of election night eve live show on November 4th in Los Angeles. And I will send Ben the link for the
please do.
That's an interesting date. November 4th in Los Angeles, you say? At what venue, please?
I don't know off the top of my head.
The link will give them all the information, drop.
Wow, this guy. But you got to go to the event. It's going to be the time of your lives. West Coast,
yes.
Does it best coast.
All right, that's perfect. Correct. Thanks, Jock.
But the East Coast does it Beast Coast.
There we go.
So true. Oh, yeah,
oh, my God, y'all both have mid-limb
hair. Only in New York, baby. Go Mets.
All right, goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Als der Tod.